Expressions from St. Paul is listener-supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and financial contributions. Greetings, friends. Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. In last week's message, Dr. Williams told us it's time to get up. And in this week's message, which he titles, Keep Moving Forward, he encourages us to press on. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 down through 14. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the sanctuary, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
Keep moving forward. There's always something that the devil has to try to block your progress. And it's going to always be until God calls you home. When I started high school, I was blessed by a Caucasian came by my house, and because I lived 3 miles from where I had to catch the bus. He said to my parents, he says, he can ride with me to work every day, and there would be no cost. My mother had worked for them for a while. Then when I wanted to go someplace or do something, I spent the night in town with my auntie, because she was a person that if I come in late, she wouldn't tell it. You know, some people tell everything and anything. They can't keep nothing. I said, Aunt Monetta, now, remember now, I'm home. I said, please don't ask me, because she loved me. Don't ask me what time it is. Sometimes it'd be 1 o'clock and that was forbidden when I was coming up. But I did some things just like you pretend you didn't do. Amen. So one night I went to a basketball game and played longer than normal. And so somehow, I don't know how it happened, my father, when I went out the door, he showed up. I said, Daddy, and that was wrong, what I said. What are you doing here? He said, I come to get my son. Thought to myself, oh, Lord. He said, why are you at the game this late? I said, well, Aunt Monetta said it was fine. And so I'm here. Well, why is the game going so long? I said, I don't know. I just know it's been a good game. Now, I learned something before that. As we were leaving, the car came in. I had to go back in the car. He came in. As we were leaving, I said to him, I said, Daddy, you look like you're tired. He says, I'm not tired. I said, you look like it. I said, you want me to go home tonight or you want me to go back to Aunt Monetta's? He said, no, you're going home. So when we got there, I says, you know, the Sunday school lesson that we have Sunday is very good. I said, have you looked at yours? He said, no, but I will. And then I said to him, some things in the lesson, I start quoting them. Now, the only reason I'm telling you all of that is a way of introduction. Instead of me getting puffed up and upset because I couldn't do anything about it, I started talking about the good things. And I said, because I had spent the night there before, I said, how's mama? He said, oh, your mama's fine. He said, she cooked some different things and what we like. And we just kept talking. And when we got home, I sit down to pull my shoes off. And I did like some of the young folks now. I leaned over as if I was asleep. And he wasn't going to hoop a sleeping boy. So Daddy said, I won't forget tonight, but you go get your bath and go to bed. Now, I thought he would forget. And so a few days later, something else came up with my brother, who always got me in trouble. And my daddy says, pull your shirt off. And he says, and I owe you some from last week. I said, Daddy, you didn't forget that? He says, I can't because I don't want you in trouble. And so by the time he got this three-prong switch, my mother walks in, and I'm not crying, I'm hollering. Daddy, that switch is going to hurt. I don't have on no jacket, I don't have on no sweater, I don't have on no shirt, and I'm pleading with him. And that's why I tell young people, you need to be careful what you do. My mother said, well, why don't you just forgive him this time? I thought to myself, it won't be another time. I don't want no whooping without a shirt on. I don't want whooping for nothing. I forgot to pass, but he didn't. He represented God. God does not forget what you did yesterday. That's why you ought to quit going from thoughts of last week. If you want to press forward, keep moving forward, press on, some stuff you're going to have to forget. Amen. Now, a lot of folks are not aware of this, but Paul, when he was Saul, he had a group with him. His group, Saul's group, he was well trained and well versed. Academically, he had finished the universities. Theologically, he had sat at the feet of who? The most gifted man in that area. So he had it on both sides at Saul. So his group went from house to house. When Jesus rose up, Jesus came on the scene and started the movement about God. And out of that movement, they got the name Christians. But Jesus' movement was predominantly Gentiles. And in his movement, they was growing and gathering larger and larger. So here Saul said, I'll stop the movement of Jesus Christ because it's a threat to the movement that I know about. This has to do with the law and all this stuff. So Saul said, line up. And he knocked on doors and arrested women and men. And his group, they beat them. And the more they beat them, the larger the crowd got. That's why it is your job is to learn so you can witness. Now, I'm going to tell you this because you would be responsible once I give it to you. You are out of order. You're not following the principles of the Bible. when you don't witness outside of this church. I witnessed this week to other people, Afro-Americans, a couple of them, and I witnessed to a couple of Negroes. And I witnessed to four Caucasians because I had an opportunity. And one of the men, a Caucasian I witnessed to, he didn't realize, he brought it up. He says, why are you so calm, Mr. Williams? I said, because I don't have no reason to be upset. And that gave me a chance when he said, to witness to him. I said, you'd be calm if you start back dealing with Jesus. Jesus will make you calm. So Saul, as he got his train together, not only was he doing it in his area, because he didn't like Jerusalem, he then decided to go to a place called what? March down the line, remember? Down to Damascus. And his job was to stop the movement of Jesus. And that's why I keep telling people, I don't care what they know, I keep telling people, you cannot stop what you can't see. Saul didn't see the movement of the Holy Spirit. So here he's like, I said Saul was the first cousin to a Baptist. And so he tried to get away with all of his little group or his little army. It's in your Bible. And so he said, when he got down so far, my God, nothing about your God, my God said, now I've had enough. And so he's on his horse, and they're at the best you can find. And God knocked him off, remember? And when he hit the ground, he came to himself. That's the book. And he said to the person he couldn't see, he says, Lord, what would thou, or what would you have me to do? See, that's why I tell you, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. Because God eventually will let you alone. But before that, he'll knock you around. If he wants to save you, he's going to get worse on you. Amen. This man I know was 80 years old and wouldn't do anything in church because he knew everything in church. He knew more than the pastor, and God sent the pastor there. He knew more than everybody else. So he got about 80-something years old in his mid-80s, and he said, I am disturbed because there's something in me that I haven't wanted to do. He said, but you're too old. He said, I might be too old, but my memory is here. So he said, roll me in the church in a wheelchair. And every now and then on Wednesday, he said, Brother Pastor, let me start it. And when he get to singing and praying, they didn't get to study no Bible. He had to bring out of him that was already in him. So you can sit around cute all you want to. Don't want to do nothing. Don't want to say nothing. Don't want to say amen. Just a little cute. Your cuteness is going to wear off. You're going to get up one morning. You're going to look like you've been down Dark Alley's Road. Amen. Your used to be clear eyes going to be red. There used to be smooth skin going to be wrinkled. You're used to strutting and walking. It's going to be, what's wrong with you? Arthritis got me. You cannot neglect witnessing for God, and he's done so much for you. How can you do that? And so the gentleman that was with me, he said, you witnessed to those Caucasian men just like they was one of you. I said, they are. I used to be like them. They said they wasn't saved. I used to be. That was a time I was, well, I had been going to church and I had admitted it and then I accepted Christ, but I didn't know him. I accepted him, let me repeat it, but I didn't know him. A lot of you all have accepted invitation to go and eat. You have accepted invitation to go somewhere. You don't know those people. You think about eating. But there's a difference in being a member of anybody's church and knowing Jesus. Somebody said to me, well, how would I know, Pastor, that I'm growing? Keep your mouth shut. Quit running other people down. Talk about the goodness of God. Talk about where he brought you from. That's a sign you're growing. If you're always mumming and coming and telling somebody else, you are not growing.
Preach, Pastor. Talk, Doc. Preach.
You said, Pastor, where you get that? It's in your Bible. And so don't worry. Paul said, I've done well. He done shipped from Saul to Paul. He said, I've done well, but I have not yet attained. But this one thing, I wish that all of y'all could just do one thing. And that one thing is praise God. Praise him and just thank him for what he's done for you. Thank him. One thing I got to do for God. I got to do at least one thing. God, please, one of the main things that God has pushed us is that if he had not wanted us to come to church, he wouldn't have never organized. Don't you miss God's church. But I don't like the pastor. The pastor has no heaven or no hell. But you can go to hell hating him. Help me, Holy Ghost. This is a two-part sermon, so I got time. Now, Paul is one of, I say, the major figures in Christianity. He wrote, well, let me back up. He dominated the area of Christianity once he got saved. Dominated. We was having a meeting with, what's this governor's name? Newsom. And there was a number of us there. And I stopped when I'm going by him and spoke to him and said something. Somebody said, you know the governor? I said, yes, I do. I know him because he's my governor. I didn't say I ran with him. I said, you need to get to know him because you might need him. You don't ever know. But I don't deal with politics. You better learn how to deal with it because the politician makes the rules for your life. But if you know God, you don't have to follow those rules. So here, in addition, about one-fourth of the entire New Testament is made up of his letters. And if we include letters he wrote and letters that have been attributed to him, it's more than that. And yet, he says, all that I've done, I have not what? I'm not attained. I haven't arrived yet. Who are you? I keep saying this to people. Who are you thinking that you've been a member of a church 30 years and you have arrived? You haven't arrived. And you won't arrive until it's all over.
That's right.
Amen. Tina, where is Tina? Tina over there, I heard a while ago. You know, when she's playing it a few minutes ago, she slipped into it. If you remember, she had a good little beat. And Tina said, she didn't have to do that. She could have kept it the other way. And the reason you said, how you know that? I had music. But I never did arrive. Okay, let's move on here. I was sitting in the church. And the Spirit spoke to me and said, give $80. That's all I had. I said, I must be hearing things. I said, that's all I have. I can't give my $80. Well, I'll give $8. I could have misunderstood it. I went to sit down. I heard the voice, give 80. I gave my all. $80. It wasn't in this church, it was another church. And the next week, the government owed me, they said, $6,000. So I gave my 80 pepper, then I gave tithes out of the 6,000. Then in 6 months, they sent back and said, we made an error. You owe us that $6,000 plus interest. So when I had done, put it in another an account, I went to whatever them people think, IRS. I said, you made a mistake, and you want me to pay the interest? I don't think so. I don't owe you nothing. I said, I got the letter here where you said you owed me. So if you made a mistake, I'm not paying for your mistakes. And the lady said, well, it is an error, so we'll clear it out. One blessing after another. I didn't get anything, but I didn't pay anything. Let's move on. I hear you saying, I'm not paying on tithes. I don't care what you say. You're not hurting me. You're not hurting God. You're missing your blessings. Amen. Amen. My mother was here. She paid tithes in her church in Mississippi. And when she was here, she paid tithes. And she wasn't even a Baptist. But she was a Christian. I want to encourage someone today to keep moving forward. Moving forward, regardless of the pain, the pressures, and the persistent problems that may, my friend, be penetrating your plight or predicaments. Move forward. Keep moving forward anyway, anyhow, and by any means necessary, that the word for the church today, no matter what, we got, my friends, we got to keep moving forward as a church. Paul says, Paul must have, my friends, been a sportsman because he utilized the same techniques in sports as he do to talk about his word. When you are in sports, and you want to be good, you have to give up some things. Amen. When you are in sports and you are good, you have to give up some things if you want to be better. When you are in sports, you have to train hard. You can't be out on a Friday night eating a Big Mac and French fries. You are in training. And you're neglecting your family, you're neglecting your personal wants, but you're trying to become better. So it is with God. The more you rehearse worshiping Him, the better you will get. Amen. Amen. A lady said to me, if you and I get married, we started seeing each other. Everywhere you go, you stop and talk to people. You won't be able to do that. I turned my head and said, thank you. Even if I was going to marry her, she killed the marriage. God called me to preach, called me to teach, called me to witness, and I'm going to listen to her? I don't think so. If I get down and can't get up, she can't help me. If I get broke and she don't have no money, she can't help me. But the God I serve, if he calls you, he'll supply your needs. All right, let's move on. Friends, when I think about it, when I really think about it, really think about it, an athlete has to be disciplined. He has to dedicate himself to his team. So it is with the Christian. We have to dedicate ourselves to the master. Paul had admiration, verse number 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus had also laid hold of me. Paul alluded to the fact in verse 15, if you read it, and 16, he has gained some ground in the area of spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness. But right up front, in verse number 12, he says, I haven't arrived yet. I still got a long ways to go. And so if you think you have arrived, I'll tell you, you haven't. We all have a long ways to go. He says, I got admiration. And because of that, I'm pressing on. The word speaks of pursuing something to chase. And friends, I need three of y'all to line up over here. He says, I'm pressing on. Now, some of you think you have arrived, but I'm here to tell you, you got a home, but you haven't arrived. You have money in the bank, but you haven't arrived. You have a trip planning for December, but you haven't arrived. You just bought a new car, but you have not arrived. We got a long ways to go. I'm retired and I don't have to work. My check comes every month. You still have not arrived. You forgot that Trump's in this to do something different. You have not arrived. I can give all that I have, but I have not yet arrived. Now, Paul, line this way. I want you to pay attention. Now, turn this way. All of you, turn this way at me. Come out this way. Come in the middle. I'm moving forward. I'm pressing on. Now you all have to find a way to block me. You see, when God is moving you on, always somebody trying to block you. Always. But I learned when I was a young boy that he who never slumbers asleep, he knows the blockers. He knows them. So while they're trying to block me, God is saying, stand up. You said slow. Move on. While they're trying to block me, I can't move forward. The Spirit is saying, you hear him, move on. So when I get here to move on further, I can't get through. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I can't get through. Move on. So I back up. I back up because I'm blocked. Listen to me careful. I'm blocked. I can't press on. So the Holy Spirit says, look to your left. And on the left, there's some space. I can't get through the blockers, but I can go around them. And then when I get around them, I look back. Look where he brought me from. He brought me from my blockers. And since he brought me from my blockers, I'm going to press on to the high calling in Lord Jesus. There is a way you can press on. Come here, Bob, and tell me one. There was a man that Jesus was in the house full of people praying for them. really praying. And there was no way this man, he wanted to go to the prayer meeting. And they brought him in on a, what that thing they bring people in on? A gunny. Four men had it. They got to the house, they couldn't get in because there was too many people trying to get in. And the Spirit said, don't worry about it. Take him out on the roof. Take him up on the roof. And while they were taking him, somebody was up there cutting a hole. Now the Bible said they let him down through the roof. So how you can't you stop God on the ground, he'll take you higher and higher and higher. You can't beat this God. And let me give you another one. This woman had a disease, and it was forbidden for that kind of woman and that kind of disease to get around other people. So she heard that Jesus was in town. And the Bible says, she said, I got to press my way. Been for 12 long years. Been to every doctor in town, and nobody could help her. But she said, I got to press my way. The Bible says she pressed. I have to come down, but I'm pressing. I'm pressing my way to get down. And so they tried to block her. She couldn't do anything. She didn't want to be seen, but she wanted to be heard. And at the end, she couldn't get to touch Jesus. She couldn't put a hand on him, but she just bowed down and touched the hem of his garment. And when she touched the hem of his garment, she was made whole. Nobody can stop you when you're moving forward. Amen. Hallelujah to the King. And then there's another young man who wanted to catch up with Jesus and follow him, and he couldn't because he was too small, too short. So he said, but I got to be a way and I can find Jesus. And the Bible said he climbed in a tree, and as Jesus came by, he touched it. Don't tell me that you can, nobody can block you from pressing on. Press on, press on. Press on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Press on. Press on. That's God. If you want to press, he'll be with you. Amen. This I know. Press on. One of you singers up there sang that song. I am pressing on. Come down here and sing it. Whoever knows it, come here and sing it. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining. How often? Every day. Friends, are you pressing? Are you pressing? Are you just sitting around dreaming? I'm pressing on.
I'm pressing on.
Think about it.
The upward way.
That's not down here, that's moving up.
New heights I'm gaining. Every day.
Listen.
Still praying as I'm onward bound.
Hallelujah.
Oh, plant my feet on high.
Where you come? Will you come today?
I'm pressing on.
Will you come today?
The upward.
Will you come today? Will you come today?
I'm gaining.
Will you come today?
Each and every day.
Will you come today?
Still praying. Yeah.
Will you come today?
I'm onward bound. Lord,
will you come today?
Let me be on high.
come today?
As I'm onward bound, Lord,
will you come today?
Plant my feet on higher.
Oh, Lord.
Lord, lift me up.
Lift me up. Will
and
you come
let
today?
Me stand.
Will you come today?
My faith on heaven.
Will you come today? Don't neglect him. Say yes as he speaks.